Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains, fucking hell, Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano. Not a great start. And with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes. Hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. All hail the bearded wonder, but we'll get through that.
Oh, yeah. Saved my game week. Fucking hell. Okay, let's start with the group winner. So, Paddo, the group winner was Todd. You can say his team name because, yeah, again, we're getting all of our weekly winners have having some ripper team names, Paddo, so they're keeping it going. What's Todd's team name? What did he score? Who do you have?
Yeah, another great team name. His team is Big Balls, and he had some big kahunas this week, scoring 2,591, which is massive for, what is it, round eight. So really, really top effort there, Todd. Had a lot of the monster scores, so he actually had the VC on Cherry, so took that. But also had Gorn, who obviously scored 198.
Yep.
Also had Merritt, also had McRae, also had Rankin. So got the monster scores for the week, but also some really solid primo scores, including one from a rookie in Zach Reed. But yeah, Sheasel, Bailey Dale, Luke Train even scored well. Petrarca, Callahan, Marich. So some really, really good scoring there. Yeah, Bailey Smith up forward. Like, it's a really, really good team. Even the bench is looking pretty solid as well. So I, looking at this, it seems like a team that has a lot of trades left still. So I don't know that for sure. But yeah, really, really good team.
We'll go on to our scores and rank. So I'll start off. Look, I thought I had a really shit week. I got 2,437, Paddo. The one that saved me was Max Gorn as C. I actually had Sheasel's 120 as VC, and I just said, nah, I need to make up some ground. And went with Big Maximus, and he got the big 198. So, but in saying that, like, if you looked at my forward line, Paddo, you would have thought that I would have got 2,700. And then you look at my defense, and my defense was just so pass. And then my midfield let me down. Like, I traded in Connor Rosie this week, and I had a three options, Paddo. And I'm sorry, I'm pointing the finger at you because you swayed me on this one. I had Rosie, Warner, and LDU. And I had LDU, and then actually it was you and Daniel. Both were like, why wouldn't you bring in Rosie, blah, 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 blah. And then I traded him just before the game, and then Rosie got a nice fat 78, and now he's probably going to go down in cash, and then LDU scraped a 100. So, and even Warner got the big 140. So I was like, fuck, two of my three, and I picked the one that just didn't make it. So, and then Tom DeConing didn't fire. Ando got his 105, which is all right. Finn Callahan at least got 133, so he's bounced back. But yeah, just a bit frustrating. Anyway, what was your round score and rank, Paddo? Oh, my rank, Paddo, sorry, is now 5,508. So I actually went up 1,600 spots.
Yeah. I just want to mention Connor Rosie will probably still score more than those other guys for the rest of the season. You can't sort of take 1 week as a sample size. But anyway, so I scored 2,424 for the round. I started off really well, even though I had Dacos and Brayshaw on field, obviously. But guys like Bice really hurt me, having that down game, which seems to do it the SCG, Dano. All his low scores have been there. But anyway, I went up 2,500 ranks into 10,000 or so. Still really happy with the way my team is looking. I did end up biting the bullet and brought in Max Gorn this week, and he debuted as captain in my squad. So clearly a lot to like there. Saved myself 55K. We mentioned it last week on the podcast. I don't think it was right to destroy your team to bring in Bont or Butters, but Gorn for me was a bit of an exception, and we will get to him. We'll have a discussion on him later. But yeah, he was massive for me this week. Sardis was not. I'm a little bit worried about that trade-in because my midfield bench is Nevitt, Hall, and Gross, who all Gross, which is a gross midfield bench. So I'm very nervous about that, especially if Sardis does not hold his spot. But anyway, we'll nervously look at that on Thursday night. But Whitfield and Sheasel are carrying my defense line. Zorko is making me really nervous. Busslinger I brought in for a four. Ask. Matty Roberts is still doing just fine. Finno Sullivan, he was on my bench, but he's had a nice score. I VC'd Dacos. I VC'd Brayshaw, sorry. Matty Rao's really hurting. He's had a few really bad scores in a row now. Paddy Cripps with a nice 121. I feel like he could be back, Dano. But my midfield really was gross. Did not score well at all. It was my rucks, Gorn Cherry, really, really solid. And my forward line as well. So Horn Francis had 92, but I had Petrarca, Rankin, Smith and McRae, and Caleb Daniel as well. And I had Elijah Hewitt on the bench as well. So I didn't even get his 91 score. I wish I had a way of getting him on field over Sardis. That would make me a little bit less nervous about that midfield. But anyway, I think Flynn's gone this week for me. Ooh. Even though he could score well this week against the team that is conceding the most points to opposition rucks. But I just feel like I need to bring another big dog in, and that is by getting rid of Matt Flynn in order to get one Lockie Neal. That is my current trading situation, but we'll see. That usually changes 27 times before teams are locked.
Paddo, you'll love to know that I went early on Bo Allen.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that, but he's now missing a week.
Yeah, so that leads me as the segue into injuries and suspensions. Bo Allen suspended 1 week. looking shit hot too.
Yeah, and I do want to say as well, Dano, they had their first win in the Waffle on the weekend. And how do I work this? Absolutely.
Clay Hall was a slut.
Yeah, I was going to bring up. I can't even find how to get to the last round. So that is really great. What a shit app. Oh, here we go. Found it. Anyway, so, Clay Hall had 32 touches and 9 tackles in the VFL. So hopefully he comes back in as someone who has him on the bench.
In the Waffle, not VFL.
And yeah, in the Waffle with an average of 69. Tyrell Duar also had a good game with 26 touches. Gross only had 19, kicked 0 goals too. The other one, Dano, Bailey J. Williams had 17 touches, 2 goals and 26 hitouts.
I'm sorry. That doesn't scream pick me.
It doesn't, but Reed went down with an Achilles and that looked bad. And I feel like Bailey Williams comes in and him and Flynn will possibly split time. And Williams will play as that forward that chops out.
Yep, fair enough. Hayden Young, hammy. Don't know how long, but you reckon about 6 weeks, Paddo?
Yeah, it was a bad one. And Longmire said that after the game as well. So probably looking at least to after the buys. He had a bit of hamstring issues in the preseason as well. So, look, hopefully he doesn't go down the avenue of just being a really injury-prone, really good player, because you don't want to see guys get that mantra, but it's not looking good.
Now, Jordan Ridley, hammy, we don't know how long, but we were talking about Lewis Hayes the other week, Paddo, 119K defender. Been putting up some really good VFL numbers. They held him out of the VFL. So maybe Lewis Hayes comes in for Ridley.
Yeah, speaking of perennially injured guys, Jordan Ridley with his annual soft tissue injury. But yes, as you said, they held him out of the VFL. So they did the same as Sardis last week. Not that it fucking did much, but I feel like Hughes comes in. Don't jump on him straight away. Obviously, you want to look at him for a week or two, but there are options coming, and we'll go through that very soon.
Yeah. Now, Reece Stanley, Paddo, I didn't realize he was injured.
He got subbed out in the first quarter.
I didn't really pay much attention to that game, to be honest. It was two of my most hated teams playing. So, why did he get subbed? Like, was it concussion? Was it the old hammy? SDK, yep. Let's go. Been holding on to this fucking spud. Let's go for the ruck time.
Yeah, I mean, you've been kissed on the dick there, because both of their young rucks are out at the moment. So I mean, Savs probably won't play full-time ruck. I feel like even though it didn't really happen on the weekend, I feel like DeConing comes in and probably plays as a ruck, and they'll probably bring in a defender to replace DeConing. So, like a Collar Jasny or something. So, become the number one ruck again.
He literally only got two hit-outs, DeConing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because they already had Neil and Blitzavs playing, so.
Yep, fair enough. We'll keep moving on. Lawson Humphreys, concussion 1 week. Jeremy McGovern got concussed as well.
Yeah, marriage was a really bad miss.
For you.
I know some people are looking at him as a trade-out option soon. You trade him out before he's about to play against McLovin because... yeah, he'll get a lot of the footy. So, and he plays Richmond this week. So, definitely don't trade him out this week.
Oh, yeah. Him being F6 is juicy right now.
Might get a mention later, don't
I? Toby Bedford. So, this was an interesting one. It wasn't really concussion, Pato. He cut his nose and his eye started swelling.
I'm no doctor, Dano, but when your coach admits that he had blurred vision after a hit like that, that's concussion.
Yeah, but it's because he had the cut on the nose and his eye swelled up.
Yeah, but he literally had blurry vision.
I would have blurry vision too if my eye's swelling up.
I would too if I didn't have my glasses on, but anyway.
Anyway.
We included that one in there because any Max Holmes owners are probably very happy that Bedford won't play that game and possibly more.
To be honest, the Giants need to actually like stop playing a tagger.
Yeah, rely on the fucking studs that you've got in the midfield. Get Josh Kelly in there.
Anyway, he's injured. Rookie trade-ins. Oh,
really? Shock horror.
Rookie trade-ins. So we'll go with the most obvious one. Henry Huswey, 121K, 77 average, minus 83 break-even. Look, you've seen the data now. You should get a couple of price rises. I'm hoping that he has, in the next couple of games, he plays unreal and Connor Nash doesn't get a look in.
Yeah, so I was running some numbers before. I've changed my mind on Huswey. I think he is... almost a must-have. Even scoring at 60s, he'll go up about 120K the next couple of weeks. And obviously scoring 70 to 80 will go up even more. So I think you take your two price rises there. That takes you to, what, round 10? And you just hope that, Nash either gets forced out or they force out a Warple or something like that. But Sam Mitchell, after both games, sort of mentioned that he was really happy with how he played in both games. So he seems like pretty locked in on there. Is that bigger body that they really like? And yeah, the CBAs were slightly up on the weekend. I mean, granted, it was against Richmond and it was a pretty lopsided game. And they also had, was it Connor McDonald pull out, who's been getting CBAs? So obvious reason for a bit of spike there, but I think he's almost must-have with the break-even so low.
Yep. The other one, Riley Hardiman, 190K, 44 average, minus 22 break-even. He's been sub a fair bit, but last two games he's played full games, 58 and 76, Pato. Defender, what, Archer's gone down injured. I don't think that really affects him too much, but the ball's going to be down there a bit.
Yeah, I mean, they've actually been improved the last couple of games since he's been playing a full game. So the job security looks good. The role is obviously good in that defense. I almost feel like there's a lot of noise coming out of North Melbourne fans, Dano, that Caleb Daniel could be closer to a drop than Riley Hardiman, which is kind of crazy to say out loud. But they want him gone because he is a liability defensively. And maybe Bevo did know what he was doing. Anyway, we won't go there. He has had a price rise. He's 190K, which isn't great. But I mean, if he can hold on to his spot, I can see him being a bit of a slower burn and making sort of 100-150K. The problem is he's got that round 12 buy, which is obviously not good. But I mean, he's more there for a cash cow rather than a warm body over the buys. But some people need someone playing because benches are looking thin. Saying that for a friend.
When you got no defender bench this week and you got Buslinger on D6, let's go. And he might not even play. Oh, fuck. Well, we'll go down to the played one game players. So the first one's Will Lorenz, 119K, got an 83, minus 35 break even. The only thing is, and I was thinking about this, and then I saw your notes, Paddo, is they got fucking belted. And generally they drop the kids first, or Jeremy Finlayson. it's usually one or the other. So, yeah, that's not a good sign.
No. Yeah, they yanked Joe Berry at halftime for Finlayson, who had three touches in 36% game time. That's Berry in the first half. Jackson Mead had seven touches. Lockie Jones playing halfback for five touches. I didn't even think that was possible. Ollie Law was shit. Kane Farrell had 15 kicks and wasn't good. Like,
yeah.
Surely there's others ahead of him, but yeah, coaches do tend to make young players scapegoats for some really bizarre unknown reason. He did look good though, playing on a wing. But yeah, in a 90-point loss, hopefully he doesn't get dropped. The other sort of flag there is that Rosie got moved into the midfield off half back, and hopefully that's not kind of to stay.
Well, they had to change something.
They did, yeah. But he had 83 in a 90-point loss as a kid with 15 touches. So that looks really good.
Yeah. Hugh Boxall, 113K, 75. He got minus 29 break-even. Got 39% CBAs. Philippou was named in the main team during the week and then got pulled out. So he'll probably be back this week.
Walking in the last training session of the week.
So I'm assuming that he'll be in this week. And then you got Hugo Garcia, just had one of the most epic sprays known to man and came out and got a Rising Star nom the next week. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where Hugh Boxall fits in when Philippou's come back in and you've just had Garcia respond to a coach's spray.
Yeah, it's a weird one because he had 39% CBAs and was good. He looked really good. Yeah, had to endure myself on this on Friday Night Footy, which is fucking disgraceful. But anyway, but Hugo Garcia, yeah, he had 10 tackles and that was clearly what the spray was about. But he had 9 clangers, Dano, and gave away 4 free kicks and went at 42%. So I can't help but think that one of Garcia or Boxall gets omitted for Philippou, who's clearly better than those two guys at this stage of their careers. Tovi Travaglia was also an unused sub in a 60-point win, which kind of baffles me a little bit with some of those old guys on the list. Like, surely Brad Hill would have enjoyed a quarter off to freshen up, or Jack Steele, or anyway, that's Ross Lyon for you. Glad he kept Jack McRae on there, that's for sure. Anyway, back to Boxall. He did look really good. But yeah, that midfield group is a little bit up in the air, sadly.
Yeah. The last one of the one game is Joe Fonte of the Giants, Paddo. 160K, 77 he scored, minus 13 break even. So I'm just going to read out what you said, which is he's an option but won't make too much cash scoring 60s due to his price. I beg to differ. He actually played as good. His first game, he played as good, if not better, than Connor Stone's best game of the season, which just happened, and they dropped him for Fonte. Like, yeah, they need someone to fill that role. And the thing about Fonte was he wasn't afraid to do the daring dash up the middle. And we actually looked good when he did that. They kept forcing Whitfield and Ash out wide, but no one really considered Fonte to be a threat. So I actually liked him, and I reckon he did enough to stay in that side.
My only question mark is the role and scoring potential. That's all.
Defensively, it was good.
If I look at his VFL fantasy stats, there's no Supercoach stats available for that unless you're on the Code Sports team. But anyway, and they were like 98, 34, 62, 81, 64, 49. That dates back to around 20 last year. So, like, it really does not scream super relevant. Like, if you're desperate for someone, and like, you're the Giants man, Dana, if he's going to hold his spot, you could definitely do worse for a bench spot, someone that will play through the buys. But yeah, I don't know. It's 160K.
I would still, obviously, I've gone early on a couple of guys and I want to stop doing that. So this is me as a Giants fan saying, wait a week, see how Fonte goes, and then see if he's named the next week. That's all I'm saying.
100%. And we've got defenders coming too.
Yeah, correct, correct. Anyway, we'll move into our defender trade-ins. So the first one who's in 60% of teams, and if you're in the 40% that don't have this guy, if I can get him in, Harry Sheezel, 557K, 108 average, 78 break-even. Halfback Sheezel is back. Just fucking get him if you don't have him. Simple as that, Paddo. Can we move on?
Yeah, I just want to say he's going to get out of reach really quickly in that halfback role. Yes, he is a round 12 bye guy. But, I mean, if you want to bring him in at 630K after the bye, then sure.
Next one, Max Holmes, 496K, 101 average, 31% owned. Now, he's got 128 break-even. I was considering bringing him in this round, Paddo, because he's a sub-500K guy. Although his scoring hasn't been that great. He's been up and down. CBAs are down. Good price. I reckon, honestly, hold Holmes for a week. If he kills it, he's not going to go up in price much. Even if he kills it, he still might not make his 128 break even.
Yeah, fair.
So I honestly reckon if you can hold this week. Anything more to add there?
No, I think he's solid. I feel like his scoring has upside.
Yeah. Josh Dacos, 489K, 94 average, 3% owned, 68 break-even, three-round average of 113, good price, not a good buy. We were talking about this bloke as a midfield option to start the year because we knew he'd get defender DPP status.
I nearly started him, and it wouldn't have been a horrible start.
No, it like 94. I can't remember what his starting price was.
459.
Yeah, so... Well, yeah, he's going good. Three-round average of 113. He's going to go up in price. He's on one flank. Houston's on the other flank. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a really good buy at the price.
All right, next one. John Noble, 495K, 98 average, 2% owned, 83 break-even. I was actually at one stage there because I was just quickly glancing. I was getting him and Bailey Humphrey confused because they're so pale and have the one really thick... tattooed arm, even though I got different haircuts. It was just a real quick glance, but Noble looks good besides that one kick where he had no one on him and he shanked it out on the full. Don't understand, but anyway, he's better than that. Won't be an everyday occurrence.
You'd hope not. He's actually doing what I thought Rioli would do this year. Been really consistent. He's had a 78 and a 67, but other than that, everything else has been over 100. So I think he's a nice option at sub 500K. If you are shopping at Aldi this week, I think Noble's a noble choice.
We'll go to the midfield now. Chucky Neal, 583K, 105 average, 28% owned, 79 break even. Look, he seems to be back. His slow start is gone. He's got the last buy of them all. Just honestly, the dude started at like 640, 645K. Like, you got a bargain here at 583K.
Yeah, he's a big dog. We know that. Three-round average of 125 and a five-round of 119. And like 27% like seems pretty low ownership as well. So, I mean, yeah, sure, you missed the St Kilda and Gold Coast matchups. But the next two are really good in North Melbourne and Melbourne. So could be a scary non-own, and he could be sort of 620K by the time that Melbourne game happens, and people will just not look at him because he's too expensive. So I think he's a really good buy this week, is who I'm looking at bringing him in. And having that last buy as well is helpful because as you pick off guys as they come off their buy, it won't matter as much because you're going to have more primos on field. So I think it's a really good price for Lockie Neal.
Yeah, Jordan Dawson, 521K, 107 average, 14% owned, 74 break-even. Got a monster game on the weekend, Paddo. Honestly, he's been a bit inconsistent. I want to see the Jordan Dawson consistency keep going, like what he was. And look, I just don't like the fact that they're kind of shuffling him around a bit too, Paddo.
Yeah, he kicked three goals on the weekend, which was kind of crazy. His good scores also coincide with Matt Crouch not playing. So Crouch didn't play against Carlton or Gold Coast, and Crouch only had 20% CBAs against GWS. And were they his three monster scores, Dano? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It was the Essendon game as well. So there could be something in that. I don't know. But I think 520 for a guy with Dawson's ceiling is a nice buy. If you can't quite get to a Lockie Neal or the next guy we're going to talk about, like if you can't get to that price.
Let me just quickly check the injury list. So Matt Crouch, oh, he's not on there.
I mean, he should be playing Sandville, but that's another argument.
No, I don't think he should be playing Sandville. But yeah, Matt Crouch isn't on here. Although that was last updated April 29. So what was the reason why he didn't play?
I don't know.
Yeah, right. Anyway, move on from Jordan Dawson. Zach Merritt, 596K, 119 average, 12% owned, 89 break even. I personally am going to fade this week. And if he destroys James Jordan on the tag, then good on him. If he reaches his break even of 89, good on him. If he falls under it, it's all good too. I'm just, me personally, and I think other people need to consider this as well. You got to start buying low when these guys have like get their 50 to 60K dips. Like, I feel like money this season is going to be a big one, especially with these big guys like Butters and Bontepelli just going fucking bananas and aren't going to come down. I feel like you need to get guys that are 550K or under, personally.
I feel like for the big dogs that you know are like for sure top 5 to 10 guys, I think under 600K is a really good sort of line for that. Merritt has a fairly low break even. If he scores 90 against Sydney, he stays at 596K and has a break even of 89 next week. So
let's hope he gets a 65.
I mean, yeah, that'd be great. And then you pick him off next week or the week after, just in time for that Richmond game. That was the moment I brought him in last year. For the Dreamtime at the G game. And, yeah, it was great.
Pops off, yep.
I feel like he's kind of flying under the radar as well. He's the sixth highest averaging mid in the game at the moment, and he's kind of not been at his best, which is kind of crazy.
Yep, agreed. Our next one, Hugh McCluckage, a.k.a. the Human Suitcase, 585K, 119 average, 5% owned, so even less than Zachy Merritt, 109 break even. Nice POD. He was actually tracked as the highest averaging mid at Brisbane. So, like, is he still the highest averaging mid at Brisbane, Paddo? I'm just going to double check that right now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Yeah. Dunkley's 111 at 11th.
His 5-round average is sick. Yeah. So, and he's got North Melbourne this week.
Yeah, exactly. So. And then Melbourne the week after, who have been conceding big scores.
Yep.
And they're both possibly games that are like 80-point drubbings like Brisbane do most weeks. And the CBA role is there. He's not so much wing as he has been the last few years.
And his two low scores have both been 80.
Which is fine.
Oh, yeah. And then you're getting scores like 156, 135, 136, 132, 108, 127.
As a guy that's in 5% of teams.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. It's every season we get one of those guys that just, like you said, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, someone like a Treloar just comes out and then people just don't pick him.
Hewitt and McCluggage are the two this year.
Yeah, yeah. McCluggage and Hewitt, 100%. I think Hewitt's finally getting his down game, though, because Paddy Cripps is starting to lift. But McCluggage has all these elite midfielders around him and is still averaging 121 over five games. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind that one. Made
the run sheet.
My boy has finally made it, Paddo. Finally, after I keep bringing him up. Tuke Miller, 555K, 114 average, 2% owned, 109 break even. Now, the funny thing is he probably won't make his break even, but he'll probably just scrape under it because the man has not dropped below 100. The only problem is, Paddo, he basically just scrapes over 100 most weeks.
Yeah, I mean, his biggest score was 128. So ultimately, he's a sort of M7, M8 guy, but he's the perfect guy in that role. Like, he's not getting tagged over Anderson or Raoul. So he can just sort of do his thing on the outside. He's getting forward and kicking goals, which he's never really done before this year. I mean, last year a bit, obviously, under Dimmer. So I think it's a solid trade in. I think there's better options around the price point. But if you're looking for an MA, like I've seen some teams that have like six or seven primos in your midfield, you could do worse than Turk Miller.
Can I just say, Paddo, he started the season at 552.6K and he's at 555.4K. He's gone up a whole 2.8.
Yeah, wow. Mr. Consistency.
Yeah, good on him. Be better if you got forward status. Anyway, we'll move on. Rucks, the one that Paddo really wants on this list and the one that I've had all season long, Max Gawn. Sorry, I just had to do a humble brag. 687K, 130 average, 22% owned, 32 break even, Paddo. 30 fucking two. Now, I just want to do this before you go on your fucking thing. We went on to say he's gone 174 and 198 in his last 2 weeks. And this week he has his favorite matchup in his career. He averages around 130 against them from 12 matches, with the lowest score being 91 and the highest being 180 fucking five.
Dano, do me a favor, and those playing at home, if you're not driving, just bring up Max Gawn's stats, like season stats, and scroll down to his upcoming fixture. If you look at his projections, Dano, he's projected to get to 781,000.
Mental.
If he scores 155 this week, which I actually don't think he'll do against Lloyd Meek, but if he does, he will get to 742,000. And I guarantee you, you are not being able to afford Max Gawn unless he has like a zero and comes down that way with an injury.
Can I just say something?
Last week, sorry, just quickly, I'll finish this point. Last week felt like now or never, and that's why I jumped on, especially with the West Coast matchup. But now, this week is like now or never. Like 687 is probably about what I would spend on getting Max Gawn in. And as I was explaining last week, so if you haven't listened to that, it's still relevant information. So go back and just listen to my little rant about the big dogs and basically talking about Bontempelli, Butters and Gawn. Bont and Butters will come down. You know there's a tag coming. You can't tag Max Gawn. And he's clearly the big dog in the line. Well, it's him and Cherry, really. But even Cherry can't keep up with Max Gawn's scoring potential. So, like, if you don't bring him in now, it's probably not going to happen unless Cherry goes down.
Now, I just want to mention something. Round 10, he's got Brisbane, who he averages the least against with 94.5 on his career. But that got brought down because in 2023, what happened at the Gabba, Paddo?
He had that zero.
He had that fucking zero game where he got subbed out. The game had started. It counted as your on-field score. Everyone fucking hated him. So just factoring that in as well, he's actually got his highest ever score against Brisbane of 215.
In the same year that he got the zero.
How fucking mental.
In two games against Brisbane that year, he scored 215 points. With an average of 107.5.
How fucking mental is that?
It is mental. And Oscar McInerney is actually a ruck that is pretty negating. Like him and Riley O'Brien are sort of the two that do not concede like the big scores. But Gawn's last four against McInerney are 138, 79, 0, and 215. And obviously, you take out the zero and he's still averaging just fine. So,
yeah.
Even if he does go 110, which might be a little bit conservative considering his three-round average of 160 fucking three, but he's still going up to like 710K next week. And you're not spending that much on a trade-in. Like, you'd have to spend fucking four trades just to get there. And we don't have that many rookies. So it feels like now or never, Dano. Like actually now or never.
And you know what the fucking funny thing is, Paddo? After his two games, I'm considering trading him out.
After the next two games?
After his next two games when
he plays Sydney, St Kilda, Collingwood, Port Adelaide.
Oh yeah.
I am
nuts this season because if you have a bloke on 750 grand, like just sitting in your team and you can fucking upgrade elsewhere and bring in Tristan Cherry cheaper.
Cherry's on the way up as well.
I know, but he's still going to be cheaper, Paddo.
Cherry has a break-even of 65.
He's still going to be cheaper than Max Gawn.
He actually has McInerney this week.
So you know what I mean? Anyway, that's for something for me to be nuts about a little in the future. And imagine if something happens and I look like a genius. Anyway.
I mean, like if he gets suspended or injured for a week or two, I can see the logic in flipping him down and then possibly looking at him back in. But if he's playing and fit, like, no. Anyway. Yeah.
I'm feeling risky this season. Anyway, Rowan Marshall, 471K, 93 average, 3% owned, 31 break even. Now, a lot of people are like, why are people looking at trading in Rowan Marshall, Pato? And honestly, I wasn't considering him. You talk about this one. Why should people consider Rowan Marshall?
Well, he had those three down weeks where he scored 61, 52, and 65, and that obviously caused his price to plummet. From all reports, he was dealing with issues. Like, they held Boyd out. Their Boyd didn't play VFL. He was, like, traveling over interstate to be, like, there warming up, basically ready to jump in for Marshall. That's how kind of cooked he was. And his last two games have gone 133 and 112. Mind you, the 133 was against Brisbane. As I said before, McInerney, notoriously hard to score against. And against Freo, where he was up against Jackson and Darcy, who are a pretty tough duo to deal with. Also, if you don't mind, he had 91% CBA. So he's in there, shouldering a big burden. Obviously, 471K is really nice. He's gone down 132K from his starting price. But what makes this a nice play is the fact that if you've got Harry Boyd on your bench, it doesn't matter if Rowan Marshall's laid out because you've got the guy that's coming in for him.
Yeah, fair.
So worst case scenario, even if Marshall's in your flex and he's stuck there, easy swap. Swap him for Boyd. Boyd can score clearly not as much as Marshall, but enough. And wasn't Marshall the second highest averaging ruck last year?
Whoa. I don't know.
He scored 112. So he averaged 112. So I'd say Cherry and Gorm were above that, but he probably was.
Yeah, they were. It's
probably 39. We know Marshall is a fucking gun ruckman. We know he has potential to go like as good as Cherry and maybe not Gorm, but he can certainly keep up with Cherry scoring wise. He's also got De Koning this week, unless Pitnet comes in. West Coast the week after. And I mean, Gold Coast is a really tough matchup against Wits. He plays in round 12. He actually has the good bye as well, where only two teams are on that round 13 bye. I think it's them and Fremantle.
Correct.
There's a lot to like. Now, he does play against Max Gorn in round 12, and round 12, you're going to need what you can get. But it doesn't matter. It's best 18. And most people have five primos out that week anyway.
Yep, fair. We'll move on to the forward line. So, Pato, you've got your must-haves in there.
Sorry, one last one again about Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, if you have gone, you make 216K downgrading to Marshall.
Okay. So, moving on, forward line. So, Pato's got you need to have these five guys, McRae, Smith, Rankin, Track, and Jason Horne-Francis. I've only got four of them. Only four. So basically, yeah, you're like, yep, must get these. I feel like you can fade one for the moment and hope for a down game. But obviously, Track's still cheap enough. I think Smith might be cheap enough.
Smith's 505K.
Yeah, so he's still cheap enough. Rankin, still cheap enough.
Rankin's 520, so he is creeping up. But I mean... Yeah. They're having such good games where the like Rankin's break even is 48.
Yeah.
And he's got a showdown this week.
Yeah. So,
like they're the five I think you need. And I think with your F6, you can afford to go something left field if you feel like it, whether that's someone like a Luke Jackson, Matt Kennedy's like decent as a POD.
Ryan Marich.
surely he doesn't turn into a keeper. That would fucking hurt.
That would be beautiful.
you can afford to do something a little bit funky with that F6 spot. I don't think it's the next guy we're going to talk about, Dano, but you do.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about it. Yes, I'm saying Chad Warner, 488K, 98 average, 8% owned, 26 break even. Pissed off I didn't pick him. still 488K. I am backing him in even when Mills comes in. Actually, I should say if Mills comes in, because that fucker keeps getting injured so much that he looks like he's about to play and then he's out for another six. But like I said last week, Warner's had an uptick in midfield minutes and he's scoring well. And he fucking destroyed the Giants. Like, it was fucking bad, bad. So, yeah, I can see a world where they'll persist with Warner in the midfield and rest him forward. He'll kick a couple of goals, boost his scoring up even more. I think he's the other one.
The problem is, Dano, the CBAs were there last year as well. He averaged 64% CBAs last year. And his scoring is just too up and down. And I think people are forgetting also that Gordon is coming back also.
Gordon's more a wing, though.
Yeah, but we don't know that under Dean Cox. Like, we know Chad Warner's a good forward, and his consistency is an issue, and he's also got question marks over his ability to run the other direction. And Heaney is similar in that regard as well. So I just feel like, in that regard, you can't have too many forward-running guys in the midfield because there's only so much of the slack that Rowbottom can handle, and McInerney had a fair bit of CBA action on the weekend. And with Mills coming back, like, just feel like Warner is the one that gets squeezed out. And
yeah, I don't think McInerney's going to stay in that midfield. He was shocking.
Yeah, so his consistency, as in Warner, has just always been a question mark. And I can't advocate this. I am a stubborn bastard. I am going to live or die on fading Warner.
Can I just say one thing? Wasn't the same thing said about Christian Petrarca and then he turned it around?
No, I'm pretty sure I did say I want to see it first before jumping on because...
No, I'm talking about Christian Petrarca before he became an Uber Primo.
Oh, yeah. So they eventually become that, but I don't think Warner's there yet.
Okay. I reckon he's going to have a purple patch and people will want to be around for it. That's just me. We'll find out who's right. We'll find out who's right. Anyway, question time, Paddo. Where do we go first? Facebook or the X formerly known as Twitter?
Just opened X, so let's go with that.
You do. Oh, well, did you also tweet about it? Questions?
No, I just retweeted yours.
Okay, sweet.
Or is it re-X'd yours?
Yeah, re-X'd. Yeah. You read them out and I'll do the Facebook ones.
All right. So Aaron Nashi says 507K for any position.
Ooh.
Who does he go for? So I'm just sliding on that really archaic bar there.
Yeah, let me do I that mean, too.
Is it too easy to say McRae and Smith? Surely he's already got those. I like Zorko at the price. I know there's question marks there, but I still like him if you don't have Zorko. And the other one I really, really, really like, I like Cripps as well.
Matt Kennedy.
No.
Why not?
Because it's Matt Kennedy and Treloar is going to get more CBAs and I don't like it. The other one is okay. Josh Dacos.
See, I don't like it.
So who would you suggest then?
I just suggested Matt Kennedy.
Rowan Marshall's 471K. We just talked about him.
Finn Callahan's 498, and he's got a three-round average of 121.7. But
yeah,
I actually really don't mind Matt Kennedy. Hey, there's your F6 that you said you can like have a punt on.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
5.6% owned.
Yeah, something tells me the role doesn't quite stick. You could do worse.
Chad Warner.
He's already getting Warner.
Oh, he's already getting Warner? Okay.
Yeah. Then, but there's a few options there that we've given you, Nashi. Also, Josh on X asked about what he's thinking of trading. So he's trading out Riley Byers, Sam Pelpepper, and Matt Flynn, which gives him a bit of money to play with. And he is trading in Dawson, Warner, and Hustwaite. I am looking at the available cash there, and there's 71,000 cash in the bank. I would look at either, actually, you probably can't get to Merritt, but I would look
I was thinking that.
Lockie Neal or Merritt Hang if on. You can get to Merritt.
Hang on, what did you say he had?
71,800, and he's bringing in Dawson, Warner, and Hustwaite. So if you really like Warner, and Hustwaite's obviously a no-brainer. I would just try and get Dawson up to like an Uber guy. And I would look at Neil. That's who I'm literally bringing in this week. So I would be looking at Neil instead of Dawson if you don't already have him. Actually, send his team. I can check. He already has Merritt but does not have Neil. So I would be getting Neil for sure. Yeah,
get Chucky Neil.
Oh, no, sorry. He does have Neil. I'm fucking...
You know who's someone that you can eye off soon, Paddo?
Who?
A real POD. He returned to full training April 29. Jai Caldwell.
Let's see how he goes first. We talked about him before. McCluggage could be a nice option.
Oh, yeah. Go the Clug. POD. Fucking boom shakalak.
Instead of Dawson.
Yeah, I would.
Be more consistent as well.
Yeah. If I could get the Clug, I would. All right, keep going, Paddo.
Yep, that was all on X.
I put it too late. Sorry, guys. Anyway, here's the one that Paddo actually put up on Facebook about 23 hours ago.
Yeah, while the footy was still on.
Yeah, fucking legend. Liam goes, is Matt Kennedy a good option for forward spot? Bont and Treloar don't seem to have impacted his scoring. Also, what fucking rookies do we trade in? It's got me cooked. I reckon Matt Kennedy is a fine play. You don't think he is. So I've already established that.
Look, I'd almost go as far as saying I think he's a better trade-in than Warner.
No.
Also, I'm looking at CBAs right now for the Dogs. So on the weekend, Bontempelli had 55%. Last week he had 50%, and the week before he had 60%. Treloar only had 24%. I just feel like that mix changes as the season progresses. And it probably turns out that one of the midfielders gets squeezed out. I don't think that means as in getting dropped, but I just feel like gets squeezed out of the midfield group. Now, Ed Richards is a really good halfback, but I think Bevo really likes him, so I don't think it's going to be him. Libba can't play anywhere else. Kennedy can't really play anywhere else. I saw that under Bevo. Bontempelli is a good forward, but are you going to take your Rolls Royce and park him in the garage and take your fucking Toyota Corolla? No. So, and then there's Adam Treloar, who has nails in his tires, but is still a Ferrari when he's going.
Yep, fair enough. And also, what fucking like... rookies to trade in? We've already done that. So, yeah, sweet. James goes, tag watch? ...
Yeah, I mean,
established Jordan onto Merritt.
Yeah, that's almost a no-brainer. Good question.
Frio don't really tag.
No, Frio, Collingwood don't.
Collingwood like to use fucking Perryman as a negating mid.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, but...
So I reckon that...
He hasn't been getting CBAs.
Yeah, that's true.
They're using Steel Sidebottom more in that role.
Yeah, okay. The Friday Saints versus Carlton.
Windy. How do the Saints have two fucking Friday night games in a row?
I don't think the Giants got any.
Like, how make that make sense? Yeah. Anyway, the Saints could send someone to a Walsh type. Walsh has been in pretty good form.
He finally admits it.
Yeah, no one's trading him in though.
You know what? I should have probably traded him in. I was going to.
Yeah, I actually feel like Port Adelaide do send someone to Dawson, so that is an interesting one. But other than that, like, I don't think, like, Geelong did actually tag on the weekend. They did have what the Irish bloke, what's his fucking name?
O'Shin Mullen.
Oh, Mullen, yeah. Mullen went with Dacos for an 89, so I don't think anyone's going well enough at the Giants that they're going to bother. Like, they only really do it for the big, big dogs in the big games.
Jesus fucking Christ. Fucking hell.
What?
Paddo goes
the Giants
black.
Have lost three in a row, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
So how the fuck are they worried about the midfield?
Yeah, it wasn't the midfield that was the issue.
Regardless. But yeah, I mean, and North Melbourne did try and tag a little bit on the weekend, so they may try and send someone to Neil, but it won't work. So I feel like the only one to worry about is Merritt.
Yep, fair. Go across to Jason says, is it time for Caleb Daniel to get the chop? I'm holding no. Because he's maintaining his break even. So they've got bigger fish to fry until he actually gets dropped by Clarko.
Yeah, I think he's a fine hold until he either gets dropped or if you really need to at round 12 when he has a bye. And when you realize that Sheasel, Cherry, Rosie, Horn Francis, all those guys are on the bye at the same time. That's when you can go, oh, fuck, I can get rid of Caleb Daniel and bring in someone else. It's not Matt Kennedy because he's also on the round to a bye. For me, that's like a luxury trade if he gets dropped or when round 12 comes. Levi, I wouldn't be holding. Like, yeah, he's...
Mate, you're reading down. I haven't even read that bit.
Oh, sorry.
Levi, a great F7 and M9 for the season.
No, I think he used his money to get... I think he's someone that you use his money to get up to a big, big dog in round 13.
I agree. And what to do if Flynn gets dropped again?
I don't think he gets dropped.
Yeah, fair. I don't think he will either.
Because they've got to bring in two bigs to replace Reed and... Well, it won't be Flynn. But they've got to bring in a big to replace Reed. So it's probably going to be Bailey Williams who will play. Is it Bailey Williams? No, it's Bailey. I don't even know and I don't even care. Yeah, I feel like they'll play dual rucks, as I mentioned before.
Yeah. Michael goes, time for Flynn to go now to Cherry before he costs too much and Flynn gets dropped. Well, we don't think Flynn's going to get dropped. But
I like that trade, though.
Yeah, if you can go straight swap to Cherry, why wouldn't you? Honestly. Chris goes, how long is it normal to remain erect for after having the Seon gone this week? Asking for a friend. I'm still fucking up.
Yeah, still raging.
I need to go to the hospital to get some blood withdrawn.
Some blood drained.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And then Peter, Nerds for Life Supercoach, goes, how do you make my team not shit to start with? Now, first of all, Peter, you can't complain because you've got a higher rank than both of us. So shut the fuck up and focus on your shit, okay? I'm pretty sure he's got a higher rank than both of us at the moment.
He has like 1K, isn't he? 1 or 2K?
Yeah. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Also, what are your thoughts on Dawson? His end of season looks really good.
Yeah, after his bye. So through the bye rounds, which is when you want... like guys to have a really good run because it's best 18. He has Sydney in round 12 and he's got Brisbane, then he's got Hawthorn, which is just about as tough as it gets in terms of midfield opposition. Now Sydney aren't the superstar midfield, but they've got that fucking Jordan tag. He's also probably got a tag this week in Drew. Then he plays Collingwood and West Coast, which are fine. Like they'll be spike scores, but then it's those threes in a row. And then after, so for those playing at home that might be driving or don't know the run home. So they've got the round 15 bye, then in round 16, and I'll read onwards, Richmond, Melbourne, Western Bulldogs, Gold Coast, Port Adelaide, Hawthorn, then West Coast, Collingwood and North Melbourne. So that is a fucking juicy run. Obviously, you've got that Port Adelaide and Hawthorn games, those Hawthorn Port Adelaide games back to back. They are both at Adelaide Oval. But other than that, they're all teams that don't tag, and you can see some monster scores happening there. So he's absolutely on my radar as possibly that final midfield upgrade to nail that run home. Ranking in the same boat as well as the same run.
Yep, cool. So that's all of our questions. So we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys and gals and everything in between VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. So without further ado, I think there's a clear VC option this week and C myself. But Thursday, Freo versus Collingwood, Optus Stadium.
I actually like both the big dogs in this one, so Brayshaw and Dacos. I like either of those. At the moment, my VC is on Dacos, but that could easily change to Brayshaw as well. I think both could do well.
Yep, fair. I don't mind that as well. Friday, St Kilda versus Carlton. I am honestly liking Patrick Cripps, Paddo.
No, I think
I don't care if Windhager goes to him or whatever. I feel like if Carlton are to go up the ranks, Cripps is the one that has to carry the fuck out of them.
Steele is a really good matchup for Cripps, so I would not be touching that at all.
As a cheap VC option on a Friday because your C is going to be on the Saturday.
Then just target either the Freo mids or Nick Dacos.
Okay.
On Thursday.
Okay. Whatevs.
If you want a cheap VC on a Friday night, it's fucking Jack McRae or Rowan Marshall.
Maybe. We'll see how Cripper goes. Anyway, any others?
No.
No. Okay. Saturday, Melbourne versus Hawthorn, and why is it Max Gorn?
Actually...
He's my VC, by the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust him with the C because Meek has done some ruck jobs previously. but I think is a nice VC because there's a possibility that this game is not close. And that could play into Gorn's scoring or lack thereof. So that's my theory there.
Yeah, well, I've got him as VC. Any others? Like your Petrarchas and whatnot? And don't what like about Petrarca. Newcomb?
Newcomb is a decent VC for sure against Melbourne.
Yeah, okay. 4:15 p.m. Essendon versus Sydney at Marvel.
Not Zach Merritt.
I'm actually not going to go for anyone in this one.
Riley Bice away from the SCG is nice.
Jesus fucking Christ. Moving on. 7:35 p.m. just before the 8:10 p.m. game. Suns versus the Bulldogs at TIO Stadium.
Dan Rioli is from up there, so he could have a nice little spike score, but nobody has him. The way Damien Hardwick likes to coach, he will probably let Bontempelli score 200. So if you are silly enough to have brought him in, you may as well fucking captain him in this game.
Same with the next game that's on not too long after with Butters in the Port Adelaide game. Yep. You've got to be really careful with these two because one's at 7:35 p.m., one's at 8:10 p.m. So
yeah, you've got to choose one of the games for a VC or a C.
Yeah. We'll go on to the 8:10 p.m. game. So that's Port versus Adelaide. If you've got Butters, you might as well captain Butters.
Yeah, Butters is a really nice option as well. He's done really well in those showdowns, hasn't he?
I think he's broken the record for most amount of fines in a showdown.
156 last year and 124 in the two showdowns.
Yeah, there you go. Just fucking go for it.
Yeah. I feel like Dawson has a really good record in showdowns as well, but I do think he gets a pretty hard tag.
What about Rosie?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Horn Francis as well. Although it's probably a fiery match, so he'd be probably too worried about boxing.
I reckon Horn Francis will crack the shits and give away a lot of frees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rankin could be a nice one.
Yeah, he seems like a showdown type of guy.
49 last year. Oh, no, he got knocked out in that game.
Ah, true.
That was the Houston game.
And he did have a problem. We'll move on to Sunday. Richmond versus the Eagles at the MCG, Paddo.
Ryan Marriage.
Look, don't tempt me.
He'll score 120.
I hope so. Anyone else?
Elijah Hewitt, can I say that?
Nah, fuck off. Let's move on. 3:20 p.m. GMHBA, Geelong versus the Giants. Giants have won the last four at GMHBA.
Really?
Yeah, they're going for five in a row.
That might change my tip. But we're not talking about tips. Bailey Smith is maybe a nice option, although I don't know if the ceiling is there, like the big ceiling. Whitfield has a really bad record against Geelong, so I'd be avoiding that one. Lockie Ash could be a nice alternative there because they will be locking down on Whitfield. Callahan could be a nice option as well.
I hope so. I hope he goes bananas. Anyway, last game, North Melbourne versus Brisbane, 17th versus 1st. This, I'm actually going VC Gorn into C Sheasel for this. I reckon there'll be a lot of scoring shots by the Lions. There'll be a fair few fucking behinds as well as goals, but there should be a fair few behinds, and he will be rebounding the fuck out of there and chipping it around and whatnot.
By the way, what a name for the stadium.
Ninja Stadium. That's pretty actually good.
How fucking sick. But yeah, no, Sheasel is a good option. I worry that this is going to be like a 100-point loss and it could be like the scaling could hurt Sheasel. I prefer Neil. I prefer Will Ashcroft. I prefer
McCluggage.
Dunkley probably has the role on LDU, so I'd be avoiding that one if I had him. I think Cherry's not a bad option. But I don't know if the ceiling is there against
Big O.
So yeah, I think it's those three, not Sheasel. Right,
fair enough.
Hopefully Zorko has a nice bounce back game in this one.
Yeah, fair. All right, Paddo, what's your Twitter or X formerly known as Twitter handle?
PATTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. You can find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. We just do podcasts. That's it. We don't do any of the other shit. We may in the future. I don't know. Pato's got a kid now. So if we weren't doing it before, we're probably not going to be doing it in the future. We should probably do a call out to see if anyone wants to build a website and do articles for us. I don't know. Maybe. If you're into that sort of shit, give us a DM on the Facebook or the ex-Fulminators Twitter. Who knows? We might end up doing shit like that. But in the meantime, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing.
Oh, fuck off.
Albanese.